the greatness of our Heavenly Father.
I'd like for you please to turn to Psalm 86. That's where we're going to start here in a few minutes. I wanted to look at the word a little bit anyway. This is actually a fairly exhaustive study. We're not going to do that. But we're going to look at the word regarding forgiveness. Forgiveness. To walk in forgiveness as children of God, there are some things we sort of need to understand. One of those is that we need to understand the Father's heart and plan in redemption and in the giving of His Son on behalf of all men, of all mankind. And when we understand that, and what it is that Jesus Christ accomplished, what it is He did, then we can begin to understand and separate flesh and spirit. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the spirit is spirit. And once we begin to understand who and what our Father is and what He's done, another simple truth is that never, ever do we have a reason to boast about anything. All that we have, all that we've received, all that we are, and all that we have to look forward to is from God. It's pretty simple, isn't it? But see, all these things play into understanding forgiveness. And another simple truth is, in an understanding these things, that we learn and we understand to take the emphasis off of this life, which is temporary, and put the emphasis where it belongs, which is on that life which Christ came to make available, and that life eternal that we're going to have with our Heavenly Father. See? You know, the old song where, you know, the things of earth grow strangely dim. You know, forgiveness is part of who our Father is. Hence, it is a part of who we are as His kids. You know, and I was talking to Steph before we started, and it's such a wonderful truth. Forgiveness isn't necessarily between you and the individual. Forgiveness really is between you and your Heavenly Father. It's your Father's heart, and it's what He's made you. Does that make sense? It's my walk with my Heavenly Father. And it is part of that which will result in the freedom that comes with believing, with the joy and the peace that comes with believing. And forgiveness many times is going to require great humility. Great humility to your Heavenly Father. Great humility to His Word. But I wanted to start here in Psalm 86. And in verse 5, we just see it's who God is. It says, "For Thou, Lord, art good." Is God good? He is. And ready to what? He's always ready to forgive. And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Isn't that something? That's who our God is. That's who our Father is. I want you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, please. We're going to look at some familiar sections. And you guys will probably think of different verses we could look at. Matthew chapter 18. And in verse 21. It says, "Then Peter came to him," to Jesus Christ, "and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" And Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." That's a figure. Okay. And it just means you keep what? You keep forgiving. See? It's quite an answer. You keep forgiving. Now, Jesus Christ was a great, great example of this, was he not? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In Luke chapter 23. This was after he had been unjustly accused and tortured, beaten, and crucified. Is it Luke 23? Yes. Verse 34, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Isn't that something? While he is praying for the Father to forgive them, they're gambling for his raiment. Talk about seeing a sermon. See, Jesus Christ prayed to forgive them. This manifested itself in Acts. And I want you to turn there. Acts chapter 2. This is the day of Pentecost. It's really remarkable. Because these people that were here on the day of Pentecost were people that were among that crowd that yelled out to crucify him, crucify him, release unto us Jesus Barabbas, or Barabbas, crucify Jesus Christ. And they said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children's children." In other words, we take this on. Kill him. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the day Holy Spirit was first given, Peter shared a number of things with them. In verse 36, how he had made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. Verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked," or pierced, "in their heart, And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, is what it should read, of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your what? And to all that are afar off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. See? The promise is unto you and to your children. Really something. Matthew chapter 9. I want to show you a record here. This is interesting. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 22. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their believing, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins... Matthew, what did I say? Verse 2. I said 22. I was seeing double there for a minute. Verse 2, I'm forgiven, yeah. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their believing, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, they didn't say it out loud, they thought it. This man blasphemes. He blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, I love that record. Knowing their thoughts, he knew what they were thinking. Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? You know, these scribes, they're probably like, what? Who, us? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. The Son of Man has the power, or the authority. I believe this word is exousia. I believe it is. Authority. The authority on earth to what? To forgive sins. Jesus Christ had that authority. He was given the authority by God. Think about this. That takes authority. It takes power. It's not just words. That's an eye-opener. He had the authority because it was given him by God. And he said, so you know that man, Son of Man has this authority to forgive sins. Now whether I say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk, what difference does it make? Something. Because the root of that sickness ultimately is what? It's sin. See? And they're inextricably tied together. Really something. That's God's heart. This is who He is. I'm going to tell you a story. I don't normally do this. This was something that happened to Jeff. And it's a story that I remember because it had a tremendous impact on his life. And it really had a tremendous impact on me. And I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version. This is while he was in Arkansas, and there was a man who had gotten born again, who love to come to fellowship. And his wife was dead set against it. She wasn't just against it. She was actively trying to prevent her husband from having anything to do with God or his word, from having anything to do with the saints. She would say vile things about Jeff, and she would say vile things about the believers. And she was constantly attacking, constantly attacking, constantly attacking. And this man was endeavoring to take the best stand that he could. Well, this woman became deathly ill. Deathly ill. And she was on her deathbed. And the husband asked Jeff to pray for her. And Jeff didn't say this to the man, but he told me, he said, when he asked me, he said, "I didn't think I could. I did not think I could pray for her. There was no way." But the man wanted Jeff to come pray for her, so Jeff agreed. And boy, he was in a quandary, because he couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. And when he went to pray for this woman, God showed him something, and he said, "The only way I can know to explain it is, I had the most intense feeling of love for this woman." He says, "I can't explain it. I had never experienced anything like that." He said, "And then I realized that's how God felt about her." And he ministered to her, and she got instantly healed. Isn't that something? Whether I say, "Take up your bed and walk, thy sins be forgiven thee." See, the Son of Man had authority. Isn't that something? Well, with that in mind, let's go to Acts chapter 7. This is the record of Stephen. And he was one of the men who was selected in the early church to minister. He was a man of great wisdom, walked with God, and he was being called on the carpet by some religious leaders. And that's sort of the Reader's Digest version. It's quite a record. But he begins to go through the Word, and they wanted to kill him. And we're going to pick this up in verse 54. "And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." That's an idiom, that gnashing on him with their teeth. And it's an idiom meaning they were filled with great anger. Great anger is what it means. You know, we might say, an idiom in our culture might be, "I was seeing red." Verse 55, "But he, being full of Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." This is what he saw. "And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul." And they what?
They stoned
Stephen. They killed him. "Calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he kneeled down and he cried with a what? a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. He cried with a loud voice, "Lay not this sin to their charge." Jesus Christ said on the cross, "Forgive them, for they what? They know not what they do." He had the authority to do that. Here's Stephen, who's being killed and in the process of being stoned. He simply says with a loud voice, "Lay not this sin to their charge." You know what that tells me? He had some authority. He didn't do this willy-nilly. This wasn't a whim. This wasn't a feel-good moment. He had some authority. And who was there that day? Paul. "Lay not this sin to their charge." See? Something, isn't it? That's who his father was. Look at Acts chapter 26. We're going to begin in verse 12, and this is Paul reiterating what happened to him on the road to Damascus. Whereupon, verse 12, "I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. And at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the goads.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutes. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make,'" and then that word "make" is to handpick, "to handpick thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, separated out, made holy by believing that is in me." Isn't that something? That was Saul. Who was the one who was taking responsibility, which is indicated at the death of Stephen when they laid the clothes at Saul's feet. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is who God is. This is who Jesus Christ is. When I think about forgiveness, Jesus Christ, when he was dying and one of the men that were being crucified with him said to Jesus Christ, "You remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom." Isn't that something? And in that moment, having been beaten more than any man, every one of his joints out of joint. I can't imagine the pain. And he said to that man, I say unto you today, you're going to be with me in paradise. That's something. Just the heart. Just the heart. See? That's God's heart for men. That's the Lord Jesus Christ's heart for men. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in to the ministry. This is the Apostle Paul, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with believing and love, which is in who? Christ Jesus. The word is faithful and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I was the worst. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a model. For a model. The word pattern is the word model. For a model to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Isn't that something? Paul was a model to all those who would hereafter believe. We're reading this in an epistle that Paul wrote by revelation. Isn't that something? Of whom he was chief, but he's a model of the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. Really incredible. Ephesians chapter 1, we're just about done, but I want to show you a couple more things. Ephesians chapter 1. Well, let's start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame or blemish before him. Verse 5 really starts with the words, in love. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, in that grace, he hath made us accepted in the beloved, or in the beloved one. That word accepted is highly favored. In whom we have received redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his what? That's the standard here. The forgiveness of sins, the standard being the riches of what? God's grace. And if you want an indication of the riches of God's grace, it says that in the future, it's going to take all of eternity for God to exhibit the riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ. That's the standard of God's forgiveness. See? Ephesians chapter 4. Sometimes men put standards on forgiveness. Sometimes men put standards on when to forgive, when not to forgive. Something can be so bad that this can't be forgiven, or I shouldn't forgive it, or you're foolish to forgive it. Well, that doesn't hold muster with God's word and with who God is. It just doesn't. What did I say? Ephesians 4. Let's start in verse 22, please. That you put off. Let's start in 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. So that's what we're talking about. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former manner of life, that the former way of living of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts or desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. That's that new man. That one body. We're members one of another. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. There's a record, and I didn't write it down, but it's in 2 Corinthians. And the context is forgiveness. Because there were a number of saints who had sort of gone off the reservation in terms of the way they were living. No offense to our Indian brother in there. But they had. And there was some reproof that took place. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, by revelation, talks about forgiving them. To forgive them. See? And that's the context of the verse where it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See? And the context of that is forgiveness. See? Isn't that something? It doesn't mean that you put up with everything. You don't. We're not stupid. But I don't have to carry it around in my heart. I can separate spirit and soul, can't I? Because I understand. I understand. I understand what I've been forgiven for. Let him that stole steal no more, verse 28, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt or putrid communication proceed out of your mouth, that which tears down, but that which is good to the use of building up, of edifying, that it may minister what? Grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye what? Kind. Be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted. tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath what? Forgiven you. See, that's the standard. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then it says, be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as what? As dear children. We've seen that God is about forgiveness. That He is always ready to forgive. And we are to imitate our Heavenly Father. We imitate Him. Isn't that beautiful? It's just who we are. It's who we are. See? We don't carry that stuff. I want to close in Colossians chapter 3. In verse 13. Oh, let's read verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. You know, it's a heart of mercy. That's your heart. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You know, that word long-suffering, it's a word, I think in the Greek, well, I'm going on a limb here because I didn't look it up, but I think it's macrothumia. And it means the boiling up of emotion, the hot emotion is a long way off. That's what it means. It's a long way off. Paul was an example, a model of forgiveness and the long-suffering of our Lord. Isn't that something? Verse 13, forbearing one another. And what? Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do what? That's the standard. There's, you know, Stefan said earlier, and he says, there's no wiggle room here. There's just no wiggle room. You know, over the years, and it's kind of sad, but I've seen saints taken out. You know, they don't fellowship anymore. Because, you know, somebody said something. Or somebody did something. And they got hurt. There's no room for that. There's just no room for that. You know? You forgive. Who we are, what we have, and where we're going is much, 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 much bigger than my feelings. And many times, a lot more than my understanding. That's where humility comes in. See it? See, it's who we are. It's how we live. It's what we manifest as children of God. See? We walk like this. We walk in this kind of love. Okay? So, Father, thanks so much for your word. And thanks, Father, for the great examples of this kind of forgiveness that we see. And how that, Father, you are always ready to forgive. And that, Father, as you are, so are we. As our Lord was and is, so are we, Father. Thank you for this, for the riches of your grace and mercy to us, your children. in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.